And welcome into the Anything Goes Wednesday edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. There's a lot of little things that we've got today. Less than a week out from the election, we've also got the Wisconsin Badgers pretty much all testing positive for coronavirus. I will leave you with a smile as we go into the Wayback Machine from 2004 before we close up shop today. But need to begin with, I guess, the latest news from what we were talking about the other day. Actually, we started talking about this on Friday with my friend Sean Pendergast from KILT Radio in Houston. And that is of what the future holds for J.J. Watt, the pride of Pewaukee, former Wisconsin Badger, future Hall of Famer. I mean, this is a guy who is one of two NFL players in history to win three NFL Defensive Players of the Year. The only other one was Lawrence Taylor. And the writing seems to be on the wall. Now, as I record this, it's about 1 o'clock on Wednesday, and I waited as long as I could to see if there was any more news about the rumor that ESPN put out earlier today that the Packers were actually engaged in talks with the Texans for J.J. Watt. Again, that is a rumor. It was started last week, not the rumor, but hey, this would be a good fit for all concerned, I think, by The Athletic's Matt Schneidman last week, when he wrote that, look, it makes sense for the Packers because they could use someone of J.J. Watt's caliber at defensive end to really try to affect the quarterback. It makes sense from the Packers standpoint because they've got a couple of draft picks that are stockpiled that they could use as leverage and bait to the Texans. It makes sense from the Texans' perspective because J.J. Watt is the biggest piece I think that they could get back to build for their future. And at 1-6, they're a franchise that's going absolutely nowhere. We saw on Sunday during the game and after the game just exactly how, I guess, disinterested isn't the right word. Disengaged, perhaps, might be the right word to describe J.J. Watt and his current situation with the Houston Texans. In case you need a reminder, this, we're going to play it again for you. This was his post-game news conference from this past Sunday after the Packers beat the Texans in its entirety.
J.J., what's it like chasing Aaron Rodgers and getting close to him and then find out he's already completed a great pass down the field?
What do you think that's like? Not great.
Mark Berman.
J.J., we've kind of asked you these questions several times this year, but now you're going into the bye week at 1-6. What are your feelings about this team going forward?
Got to get better.
Aaron Wilson.
J.J., as a leader, as a veteran on the team, what do you tell your teammates the way the state of the season, the state of the team right now, as far as holding it together, keeping it together?
Show up to work and do your job.
Brandon Scott.
Hey, J.J., how would you assess your level of confidence in this defense and in this team right now, considering where everything is?
I mean, we're 1-6. You are what your record says you are.
And also,
go ahead, Brandon.
I understand that you don't coach or play DB, but could you speak to how the injury to Bradley Roby just kind of threw things off for you guys in terms of whatever your game plan was today?
No, I know nothing about that.
John?
Can you talk about the way Rodgers played today and compare it to the ways you'd seen him play earlier and when you guys played against him?
He played very well today.
What did he do that made him play well?
Threw the ball to the receivers and they caught.
Mark Berman.
J.J., y'all came close last week in the second half. Your defense had several stops in a row, so there was a chance something could happen if your offense could have done something. Do you see any light at the end of the tunnel for this team going forward?
Just got to go to work. Get better.
Aaron Wilson.
J.J., how would you characterize your emotions at this point? Just kind of, I would say it's frustrating. It's tough. You're not accustomed to losing around here, and you won a lot of football games over the years. What's this like for you personally?
frustrated. I'm angry. I mean, sucks. I don't know. Like, it's, yeah. I don't know what else I'm supposed to feel.
Thanks, JJ.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a pissed off JJ Watt. This is someone who, at the age of 31, doesn't see the light at the end of the tunnel with this organization. And I don't think that he should see the light at the end of the tunnel with this organization. At 31 years old, JJ Watt, again, he's already in the Hall of Fame. They've already carved his bust. What's the one thing that would complete any Hall of Fame player's career if they don't already have one? And that's either a guaranteed ring, which, I mean, there are no guarantees, certainly in life or in the NFL, or at least the opportunity to play for a ring. In Green Bay, J.J. Watt has the opportunity to play for a ring. He also has the opportunity to go back home and play for the team that he rooted for growing up. We heard on Sunday's television broadcast from Kenny Albert. Again, I'm repeating myself a little bit from Monday's show, but this is, you know, a kid who grew up in Pewaukee with his two brothers and his dad going up to Green Bay, up to training camp. This is a young hockey player when he was going to tournaments and games on Sunday afternoons, listening to Wayne Larrivee on WTMJ call Packers games. This is someone who has, you know, you cut him open, and yes, there's Wisconsin Badgers red. There's probably some Houston Texans blue and red in there, but there's also a lot of green and gold in there as well. A rejuvenated J.J. Watt playing for another maybe 3 or 4 years in Green Bay for whatever the Texans would take back for him. I would say a second and a fourth, maybe throw in a fifth. I think that gets the job done, and I think that that helps all teams involved. And could you imagine how many number 99 green and gold jerseys would be flying off the shelves at the Packers Pro Shop? It might be the highest selling jersey this year in the National Football League. This was written, though, and I hadn't seen this, so I have to give credit to my friend Mike Clemens, who, by the way, quick plug, I will be on WSSP radio tomorrow night. So that's Thursday night from 6 until 8, along with the Bill Michaels Radio Network all around the state of Wisconsin, with Mike Clemens, with Bill Michaels, talking about last week's Packers game and the upcoming Packers game against the Vikings as well, from 6 until 8. So catch that if you're in Milwaukee on 1250 WSSP or statewide on the Bill Michaels Radio Network, Thursday night, 6 until 8. But Mike Clemens tweeted this out. I hadn't seen this. This was written by Matt Young in the Houston Chronicle, and this was yesterday. I'm going to read you this column that was written about J.J. Watt. The saddest moment of the Texans' fruitless season came in last Sunday's convincing loss to the Packers. J.J. Watt had just made a big fourth-quarter stop on third down. As his teammates excitedly bounced all around him, slapping him on the helmet, there was no celebration from Watt. No salute. Nothing. Instead, he quietly jogged back to the sideline. And this is where we have to have a tough conversation. That should be the final third down tackle the greatest player in franchise history ever makes in a Texans uniform. The NFL trade deadline is November 3rd, and if Watt is still working out at NRG Stadium on November 4th, the Texans have committed gross football malpractice. At 1-6, the Texans are going nowhere. To make matters worse, they won't even benefit from this miserable year by reaping a bounty in the draft because they traded away their 2021 first and second round picks to the Dolphins in the Laremy Tunsil trade. The only way the Texans are going to be able to hit fast forward on the desperately needed rebuild and pick before early in the third round in April is if they find a new home for Watt. An aggressive contending team who could use a veteran pass rusher. Hello, New Orleans Saints. Might be willing to part with the pick they assume will come in the late first round. Or at worst, maybe the Texans can secure a second round pick and another later round selection from a team desperate for help. From now until Election Day, whoever is in charge of Texans personnel, Jack Easterby, we presume, needs to be on the phone with every potential NFL playoff team asking, what can we do to make sure you drive off the lot with a brand new number 99 today? While they're at it, they should see if they can get something for Will Fuller, Randall Cobb, and anything else not nailed down or named Deshaun Watson or Laremy Tunsil. Trading a surefire Hall of Famer and one of the most popular players the city has ever seen won't be popular with a set of fans wearing deep steel blue tinted glasses, and that's okay. WWBD. What would Belichick do? The Patriots mastermind doesn't have time for sentimentality. He'd see the value other teams have in a soon-to-be 32-year-old pass rusher and get as much as he could for him right now. It wouldn't even be unprecedented in Houston. The Oilers were once in a similar situation, and Bud Adams, who will receive no praises here, signed off on an unpopular deal that had to be done. The Oilers were off to an 0-6 start in 1984, and new former coach Bum Phillips would jump at the chance to add Earl Campbell to his Saints offense. On trade deadline day, the Saints gave the Oilers a first-round pick for the 29-year-old Campbell. To this day, Campbell is probably the most popular football player Houston has ever known, but the deal made too much sense. Campbell would go on to rush for just 833 yards in 18 games with the Saints before retiring after the 1985 season. The Oilers used that Saints draft pick to select Richard Johnson, who would go on to play 8 seasons for some of the most successful teams in franchise history. Looking back 36 years later, we all remember Earl Campbell as an Oiler. And if the Texans do the right thing and ship him off in the next week, everyone in the city will always remember J.J. Watt as a Texan. Although Watt would likely never publicly admit it, giving him the Earl Campbell treatment would be doing him a huge favor. Give something to the man who has given so much to this city both on and off the field. Let him celebrate somewhere he can win and give him a chance to win a Super Bowl ring that will look nice when he slips on that gold jacket in Canton. And thanks the city of Houston for a tremendous 10 seasons. That from Matt Young from the Houston Chronicle, which was written on Tuesday. Now, Matt Young mentions the New Orleans Saints, and certainly the Packers aren't the only team that would possibly be someone who would be willing and wanting to trade for a player of J.J. Watt's caliber. He still has gas left in the tank. Yes, he's had some nagging injuries. Yes, he's been a player who has had three of his 10 seasons ended prematurely by season-ending injuries. So it's not like he's a 23-year-old, still going to win a couple of NFL Defensive Player of the Year awards type of player. Those days are in the rearview mirror, but he still has some talent left. He still has some fire in the belly. If you trade J.J. Watt to any contender, whether it's the Saints or the Seahawks or whomever, Arizona, San Francisco, if you trade him to a good team, he's going to have fire in the belly. He's going to have something to give that team. He's going to be motivated. Not that he's not motivated with the Texans. I just think the rest of the Texans, aside from Deshaun Watson, they're no longer motivated around him. You trade him to Green Bay, though. Not only is he motivated, he's playing in front of friends and family. He's playing in a place that he's revered his entire life. J.J. Watt is Wisconsin. You put him in a Packers uniform, you'll get the best that you could possibly get out of a player like J.J. Watt. So I thought that was interesting, and we'll see where this goes. By the time you hear this, by the time you listen to this, J.J. Watt may already be either a Green Bay Packer or something else. But that trading deadline is coming up next week, Tuesday. And that trading deadline, that's a hard out in the NFL. Now, as long as we're talking about J.J. Watt, let's talk about his alma mater for a moment. The Wisconsin Badgers will not play on Saturday against Nebraska because of a COVID outbreak. Barry Alvarez releasing a statement earlier today, and he's going to speak to the media later on today as well. If we have a Thursday show, which we might, and certainly on Friday's show, we'll play some of Barry Alvarez's comments when he meets the media later on. But I wanted to get this episode out as soon as I could. So Barry Alvarez put it in a written statement earlier today. Over the past several days, we've seen a rising number of student athletes and staff contract the virus, coronavirus, of course. The responsible thing for us to do is to pause football-related activities for at least 7 days. So they're closing up shop in Madison. We already knew that Graham Mertz came down with coronavirus. Now Chase Wolf, his backup quarterback, has come down with the virus as well. Head coach Paul Christ has been diagnosed as COVID-19 positive. And overall, there are at least 12 positive tests that we know of within the Badgers football world right now. This is a virus that is not discriminate. This is a virus that, you know, early estimates, and I think we all scoffed at them, said that before this is all over, 60% of the population of the United States could possibly be infected by the time this is all said and done. I think a lot of us, when that number was put out, were like, what? Come on, that's insane. Well, we're at more than 10% right now of the population of the United States that's already tested positive, most asymptomatic. But still, I mean, over 225,000 people in our country alone have died from coronavirus. So great thoughts, prayers to everyone at the University of Wisconsin in their football program, to Coach Christ, Graham Mertz, Chase Wolf, and everyone else whose name we don't necessarily know because of HIPAA violations, potential violations that are infected with COVID-19. But that's what's going on in Madison. Certainly we'll have more on this later on in the week as well. All right, time to change gears before we send you off on, this is a shortened podcast. I reached out to a few folks today. I wanted to get some sort of primer on the election, which is coming up on this Anything Goes Wednesday. Again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you who to vote for. You can figure that out for yourself. Early voting, obviously, has broken all records so far. I will say this, if you have an absentee ballot right now, don't trust the postal service to get it to your polling location on time. We have come to the point, if you're listening to this and you still have an absentee ballot and you want your vote counted, drive it to wherever you need to drive it to. In my city, it's City Hall. In some towns, it's a polling location. Figure out where you need to physically take your ballot and drive it there yourself, or find somebody to drive it to you, or take an Uber or take a cab. Don't trust the postal service to get your, especially in Wisconsin, because even if it's postmarked today and it may not get there until Wednesday, the Supreme Court has ruled that your vote will not be counted. It will not be tallied. So it is on you right now to get your absentee ballot in on time. The final Marquette University law poll is out right now. And I'm just going to read the tweets from the Marquette University Law Poll. Now, why do I pick the MU Law Poll? It's because this is the one that generally has been the most correct. We all know that 2016 still happened, but the Marquette University Law Poll, generally considered to be the gold standard, at least in the state of Wisconsin, as far as getting polls right. So this is what they have released early Wednesday afternoon. All right, new round of Marquette Law School poll interviewed 806 registered voters in Wisconsin October 21st through the 25th. The margin of error is plus or minus 4.3 percentage points for the full sample. The sample included 749 likely voters. Margin for error for that group is plus or minus 4.4 percentage points. In the new Marquette Law School poll, Joe Biden is the choice for president of 48% of likely Wisconsin voters. Donald Trump is the choice of 43%, so that's a 5-point lead for former Vice President Biden. Libertarian Joe Jorgensen is supported by 2%, and 8% gave no choice. Little change in overall results from the most recent Marquette poll, September 30th through October 4th, when it was Biden 47 to Trump's 42%. In early September, it was Biden 48%, Trump 44%. Changes in recent polls have all been within the margin of error. Among Republicans, 7% support Biden, 86% support Trump. Among Democrats, 3% support Trump, 92% support Biden. Among independents, it's Biden 36%, Trump 28%, 24% for Jorgensen. Among likely voters, 91% say their minds are made up, and 6% say they might change their minds. Among Biden supporters, 95% say their minds are made up. Among Trump supporters, 93% say their minds are made up. So in other words, this is a pretty solid poll right now, less than a week away from the election. So if you want to check out all of the tweets and all of the results, they are posted both on Twitter at MU Law Poll, and the full poll results are posted at law.marquette.edu/poll. So there you go. I reached out to a couple of non-sports folks for this non-sports edition of the Doug Russell podcast, and I wanted to get their thoughts on the election coming up because I think it's something that everybody out, at least on some level, is talking about. And I wanted to get a couple of different perspectives, but as you might suspect, there are a lot of folks out there that are busy doing other things less than a week out from the election. So hopefully I will get some feedback and maybe we'll have a special Thursday edition of the show as well. All right. As I promised you, we are going to at least try to end with a smile here on today's Doug Russell podcast. This is a conversation that I had with Frank Caliendo back in 2004. This is as his career was really on the ascension. Certainly everybody knows who Frank Caliendo is by now. He's been just about everywhere that you can possibly be as a comedian, as an impressionist. But in 2004, I guess I had the inside track to getting Frank on my show because I've known Frank since we were both in high school together, as you will hear. This is a conversation from Sporting News Radio as we were leading into Super Bowl 38. And just to give you kind of a time frame of how long ago that was, remember Nipplegate? Remember when Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson had the wardrobe malfunction in Houston at halftime of the Super Bowl? This was the week leading up to that. So take that for what it's worth. But I thought I'd go back into the Wayback Machine here on this Anything Goes Wednesday right here on The Doug Russell Show. Hope you enjoy it. Welcome back into the Doug Russell Show here on Sporting News Radio as we continue our march to Super Bowl 38. Our next guest, John Madden, Robin Williams, Robert De Niro, Bill Cosby, Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Farley, Mike Tyson, and Jim Rome, among others, all rolled into one in the form of a guy I've known for about 15 years, as I like to say, long before he was funny. Now, if you've caught his act, you know he's absolutely hilarious, and he's come a long way from Waukesha, Wisconsin, where he was the catcher for South High School, and I was the catcher for North High School from Fox's Mad TV and the Fox NFL pregame show, Frank Caliendo. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, I remember all the way back to when you were playing at for a teaching center, Creative Tours.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know were the guy who, if you threw a fastball to it, could end up 600 feet away, and if you threw a curveball, it was going right back to the pitcher.
Boy, you've got a long memory.
Well, I actually remember you hitting two foul balls so far that Randy Villarreal, our pitcher, almost cried.
So that goes almost back 20 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
I like to take it back. I like to take it back, my friend.
You're taking it back old school, no doubt about that. Frank Caliendo joining us here on Sporting News Radio. I mean, I mentioned some of the guys that you have done. I think you're most famous probably for John Madden, but there are a number of other guys that you do dead on. Have you ever met anyone that you've ever skewered?
Yeah, I've met a couple people, you know, like some of the weird ones, like Pauly Shore, and Leno came up to me and was like, so when they interviewed me on Mad TV the other day, I'm like, yeah. He goes, I was pretty good. Yeah, so Jay liked it. Louis Anderson liked it. Madden hates me. You know, I did this as a quote this year at the beginning of the year. I said, I don't do John Madden to make him mad. I do it to make money. And then everybody quoted that, you know, because here's a guy who's just a whore, this Caliendo. And that's what I wanted. And then Madden even used that quote, like, almost not against me, but he's like, you know, he's got to make money for his family, and I'm sure that's what he's trying to do. No, it was just a joke. I'm a comedian, you know. So, but yeah, I some people don't think I like John Madden. I love him because he makes me feel smart. He just says those things like, "Great football is about great football. You got great football players playing great football. That's the best kind of football to play. When you got regular guys playing regular football, I mean, that's just regular football. What you want is great football."
Frank Caliendo joining us here on Sporting News Radio. Out of costume, as Frank, not as John or Mike Tyson or Jim Rome. I caught your Jim Rome the other day as well. That was
one of the greatest impressions I've ever done.
That was very good.
Wait, Doug, while I pause for no reason. And I'm back. That was a great pause.
When you're on the street, when you're as Frank, do people kind of give you that look like, I know him, but I just can't place it?
Since the NFL pregame this year, people seem to know me more, you know, because I'm in makeup half the time and not in makeup half the time. Mad TV, I'm always in makeup.
Right.
So, yeah, I think there is some of that. Like, people, like, when I go to the airport, people are like, what? How do I know who you are? I'm like, well, because I talk like John Madden.
Which is now, is John Madden your favorite? Is that the one that you keep going back to? That if you had to pick one of the however many you do, is that the one?
It's one of them. I love the Robert Williams. I love the obscure things, like I did Jonathan Winters and stuff like that. So it's like that stuff makes me laugh more. But the Madden is kind of one that I have created a character around, and it seems to have taken a life of its own. It's amazing the response I've gotten. Since I started doing the John Madden impression, it changed, you know, my life completely. And same with a lot of ways that the Rome has been really fun, too, especially with Rome is Burning, because we can do that, the parody of that ESPN show. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff that's when you create one that nobody's really done before or nobody's seen done before, those are the best ones because, you know, it's like a breaking ground.
Frank Caliendo joining us from Mad TV and the NFL on Fox pregame show. Now, we work with James Brown here at Sporting News Radio. Do you consider yourself any kind of expert on the NFL working with JB and the rest of the Fox crew?
Oh, God, no. No, I don't even consider them experts. No, I'm there for entertainment.
Sure.
I'm definitely not an expert. I'm there to add some crazy fun and have it so Terry Bradshaw can take his anger out on somebody.
Right.
I think, I definitely know, I've always watched football and followed football, you know, growing up in Milwaukee and stuff like that, being a Packer fan. After saying that who I'm going to pick on national TV, it's changed how I watch games. A lot more kicking of the TV and just anger.
You know, well, I'm on national radio, and the only thing that I really root for is to be right.
Yeah.
So that's what you do.
So I have to root to be right and be funny that week, and that's a lot of rooting.
See, I don't have to be funny. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So it works for me. CBS has the game this year. Fox, I believe, gets it next year. Anything you've been dying to do on a Super Bowl broadcast that we can all look forward to?
I think we're just going to try and do – we're going to, you know, as in true Super Bowl fashion, we're just going to try and do something bigger than we've done before. So I don't know. We've already started kicking around ideas, but nothing's, you know, stuck yet because we – you know, so far away, we don't know, but hopefully we'll do something that we haven't done, and that we'll, like this year when I played all four guys, Jimmy, Howie, JB, and Terry, do something that goes over that well.
A friend of the show, 1540 The Tickets, Petros Papadakis, out there in Los Angeles, he's got a saying on his show in L.A., everyone is welcome, but no one is safe. Is any celebrity safe from getting the full Caliendo treatment?
I don't think so. I think we made fun of some people this year that they thought we would never do. So, I don't do it. Some of them come off a little mean, but I don't do it to be mean, really. It's a joke. And if you don't get the joke, I'm sorry, but I make fun of myself every week, too. So,
Frank Caliendo joining us here on the Doug Russell Show on Sporting News Radio. All right, let's do a little word association. I'll say a name. Give me your instant reaction.
All right.
Terry Bradshaw.
Goofball.
Brett Favre.
Phenomenal.
Paris Hilton.
Treat.
Tom Brady.
Solid.
Bill Belichick.
Brilliant.
John Madden.
Brilliant again. I don't know. Here's a guy playing it safe on that one. I'll say Outback.
All right, there you go. James Brown.
Smooth.
Tom Arnold.
Not smooth. No, loud.
All right. Let's talk about the game itself for a second. I've gone against the grain, Frank. I've picked Carolina in a close one. What does your crystal ball say?
I think that the one thing that Carolina has going for it is momentum. They just have this emotion, and they're playing, you know, it looks like they're having fun. The Patriots seem pretty businesslike. I think that Carolina is going to win because I'm picking the Patriots.
See, I'm picking Carolina because everyone else here at the network seems to have gone with the favorite, the Patriots. So now if I pick Carolina, I'm going to look like a stinking genius, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's and John Mann here, and that's how it goes. If you pick against the grain and it doesn't go with the grain, you're the grain breaker.
Yeah, that almost reminds me of Eric Dickerson's astute analysis on the sidelines when he was on Monday Night Football saying that, you know, the team is down by 14, they're going to try to score a touchdown here, then they're going to try to get the ball back and score another touchdown. If they make both extra points, that'll be 14.
Yeah, that's brilliant right there, and it's true. And if you don't realize, you can do the math, and he was right on that.
Frank Caliendo, but you can see him on the NFL on Fox pregame show. Also catch him on Saturday nights on Mad TV as well. Frank, it was good catching up with you. And the thing that's been running through my head through this entire interview when you mentioned Randy Villarreal's name is that, you know, I played with him in high school, and I just remember him showing up to practice drunk once or twice.
No comment.
Frank, it was good to check up with you.
All right, man. Good talking to you.
Man, that jingle brings back some memories. My conversation from more than 16 years ago with Frank Caliendo. Hopefully we can get Frank on the show more in real time here in 2020 or into 2021. That'll about do it for this edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. As always, we'd love for you to interact with the show. Feel free to hit us up on Twitter or on Instagram at Doug Russell Pod. Search for the Doug Russell Podcast on Facebook, and please feel free to drop us an email as well, DougRussellPod@gmail.com. Have a great rest of your week. We won't be talking about any Badgers, at least on the field, Badgers football against the Cornhuskers. I had hoped that we would, but we are not going to be able to, as that game, of course, has been canceled. But I suspect we'll have some Badgers news to talk about coming up on Friday's show as well. We'll also get you set for the Packers-Vikings rematch Sunday at Lambeau Field as well. Have a great day. We'll see you on Friday right here on the Doug Russell Podcast.